Hi, this is Harold. Welcome to Transformation's weekly message and podcast. I'm glad you are making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end of today's message, but for now, let's see what God wants to teach us. May God bless your hearing, understanding, and application of God's word and message. I want to invite you to stand. We're going to read a couple of scriptures, and I'm going to invite Wayne up to share not just good news, but the best news ever. Amen. When he responded to me, he said there was two scriptures he wanted to lean on. So I want to read those scriptures. He'll probably refer to them often, but I just want us to read them together. One, you all know, even if you're here as an atheist, agnostic, you're religious, you know this verse. I promise you, you've heard it, seen it on bumper stickers. It's out on Wayne's car, if you don't believe me. But let's share in this together. Let's say this scripture together, all right? For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And here's the other scripture. Let's do this one together. Because you're not yet taking God seriously, said Jesus. The simple truth is that if you had a mere kernel of faith, a poppy seed, say, you would tell this mountain, move, and it would move. There is nothing you wouldn't be able to tackle. And as we like to say here, may God bless your hearing, your understanding, and application of Scripture. You can be seated. I'm going to invite Wayne up. And we're going to pray for Wayne, because we all know Wayne needs a lot of prayer. That's the rumor, brother. Come on. So I'm just going to ask you to raise your hands, and we're going to pray over Wayne. And we're just going to pray for his message and what God wants to say through him today. And we're glad he's here, and we're glad you're all here. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Brother Wayne. I've known Wayne for a long time. We've been on a journey together. And although we travel different roads most of the time, every once in a while our lives intersect. And it's always a beautiful celebration, lots of smiles, lots of hugs, lots of joys. Because I love what you're doing through him, we're on the roads he's on. And I love what you're doing through me and others on the roads we're on. But we love when we have these times of intersection. So we thank you for his people and him being here today. We know that you have a great message, that the Holy Spirit is with him and going to speak through him. And we just ask that he can get out of the way of himself and just be and say and do whatever it is you ask him to do today. And we pray that we got eyes to see and ears to hear, but more importantly, we have the willingness, the open-mindedness, and the honesty to take what he has to share and put it to practice so we can make a difference in the kingdom. So we pray for him in a mighty way. All God's kids said, amen. Amen. It's all you, brother. Give it up for Wayne. Give him a round of applause.
Is this thing on? Well, I got past the first hurdle. I didn't fall coming up the stairs, which I thought I might. I want to thank everybody for being here, and most of all, I want to thank my God and the grace and mercy that he gave us all today, that we were on the wake-up list. You know, I know we said happy birthday tomorrow. I have a nephew out there, David, that's his birthday is tomorrow. I'm going to say early happy birthday to him. He was my sister's only child, and he was our St. Patrick's baby and reason to celebrate. So I'm glad he's here with his family and my great nieces and nephews also, and all my friends from recovery that I'm in. And I want to say that because, you know, my journey in recovery started, ironically, is it odd or is it God, we've heard him say, on March 16th, 2010. So on that date, this date, I celebrate 15 years in the recovery program. And so for God, you know, for this third Sunday of the month, the fall on the 16th, and talking with Harold, and I thought, man, you know, I'm used to talking, but not in this setting. And most of you guys don't know what I mean. I'm used to using words like I'm used to using words to mustard seed you, and some of you guys have that mustard seed in there, you know. And in there, it talks about that God will move mountains, but they didn't tell me I got to bring a shovel. You know, I've got to bring a shovel and do my part, because I really kind of thought, you know, okay, I'll just pray it and God will do it. And then I was told, you know, God's not a genie. You know, he's not just from a bottle that you're going to rub and he's going to do it. You're going to do your work. And the Bible tells us that faith without works is dead. So, you know, I had the verses and they had read them and we've read them in John 3:16. I have to tell you the origin of that on how I came and how the mustard seed for me of faith was planted by people in my lives. And this all came on in hindsight, growing older, my path and my walk with God and learning. And I would look back on those things and go, that was a mustard seed. That was someone trying to mentor me or help me. And I hope, and my prayer is that somewhere down the road, you may look back after this is all over, this service today, and think about something that someone has said to you that led you in the path that in your journey that you're going to go on. So, of course, the John 3:16 is significant from all the way back from 1968-69 when I was a kid, I want to say young man, in Memphis, Tennessee. That's where I was raised. Southern Baptist, the Bible Belt, as they call it. The fire and brimstone of religion. I love it. And I really was kind of scared of it, to be honest with you. But I here's an example. I went to Vacation Bible School. I think they call them youth groups and stuff now. But back then, we had Vacation Bible Schools during the summer. And I went to a friend's house, and his mom and grandmother ran this Vacation Bible School. And they were giving away cookies and Kool-Aid. I was going. So I sit through this class, or this Vacation Bible School class, and I come out, and I see the cookies and Kool-Aid over. That's what I'm there for. And I go over to get it, and this Baptist lady, bless her little heart, and some of you guys get, I've been told that my whole life, bless your little heart, and you guys, some of you guys understand that. She said, "What is your Bible verse?" And I said, "I don't know. I don't have a Bible verse." And she said, "Well, no cookies or Kool-Aid then." And I was like, and I thought she was kidding. So I started to grab them, and no, I didn't get cookies and Kool-Aid. So they had a list. They had 4 or 5 verses on a board, on a chalkboard. She goes, "Get one of these. Which one you like?" And I just saw the first one was John 3:16. So she gives me the scripture. She goes, "Now next week when you know this, you can have cookies and Kool-Aid." And she was serious. So I went back. I memorized that verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever should believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Now mind you, that's that mustard seed that we're talking about that was planted. I went back the next week and I quoted that verse to her and I got my cookies and Kool-Aid and I didn't go back. I did not go back. That's a true story. So, you know, coming from seeds that were planted with me, and I was thinking about these this morning. I made a few little notes because I said I'm going to forget it when I get up here. The Vacation Bible School, of course. And then my mom, who was a member of Tower Grove Baptist Church for a while. I think she even invited me a few times. I think I went a few times, I think. This is honest. I'm supposed to be honest. I think I went. But she would say things. I don't know if any of you guys remember, and I know some of us are older, and I love it because the crowd I go to usually younger. They don't remember 78 or 79 or 80. Remember when the hijackings were going on? Where they were hijack planes before they had metal detectors and they could take guns into airports? Well, they were hijacking airplanes and flying them. And I come home from school, and there's a hijacking going on, and some of you guys will remember where the hostage pilot had his head out the window and the guy had a gun to him and threatened to blow the plane up. And I'm watching it, and I'm sitting there and I go, "They might blow the plane up." My mom goes, "Wayne, are you looking at the whole picture?" And I'm like, "Yeah, the plane's going to blow up and it's going to be all over this TV." And that's what I was looking for. But she said, and again, this is hindsight because I see it now. At the time, I'm like, "Yeah, whatever." But she said, "When you look in the background, do you see what's in the background of that thing?" And I'm like, "What's that?" She was pointing out the first responders, the Red Cross people, the people that there were to help and to do good things. I'm looking for the plane to blow up, you know. And she, so something like that, she always looked for the good in things. I didn't get it right off my head, of course. So later on in life, and I was shipped back and forth. I want to say shipped. My brother and I kind of went back and forth to Mississippi, to my grandparents' house, into Memphis with my mom. We had seven of us living in a two-bedroom house. And so we would ship back and forth. And my grandmother was, you know, she planted a seed one time, and it did not take, let me just be honest with you. But she said this. We were driving down the road one time, and she said, you know, your cousin, and I'll leave his name out of it, I want you to not hang around your cousin. And bless her heart, she says, I think he's on those marijuana pills. And I'm like, I didn't know what marijuana was. They didn't even have gummies back then. You know, the gummy, marijuana gummies. But she had warned me and trying to get me to stay away from that. I didn't heed that at the time. You know, then I have an Uncle Paul. I had three uncles that would come on Sunday mornings in Memphis and pick us up to go to church. And man, I was up and ready. And they would come and pick us up and take us to church. And we'd go to church. And I have to be honest, I went to church because if we got crystals on a monthly basis once, and crystals are White Castles, Memphis, the southern version of White Castles is crystals. We got those once a month. It was a treat. But every Sunday, my uncles, after church, always went to a buffet. And, you know, I was going to a buffet. And because you got ice cream, you got everything. And I just couldn't believe all the food that they had. So I went to church for that reason. So I'm sitting in a Ellison Baptist church. And I know my cousins all attended there forever. And every Sunday, you know, the Brother Simmons was the pastor at the place. And he would do a altar call. I don't know if any of you guys ever been to a Baptist altar call, but it's pretty intense. And it's pretty, it seemed like he was looking right at me. You know, and you need to come up and you need to do this. So one Sunday, I don't know, I guess it was a nudge, it was a seed. I walked up there. Scared. I think I was 8 or 9 years old. I walk up there, and of course, then you would go to a couple classes and talk about what you're accepting and to be baptized and stuff like that. So a couple weeks go by, and I'm standing up there, and this church had their baptism up in the air. You guys remember the Baptist church that the curtain opens and the water's trembling and people get ducked? And I'm standing in line with about three other people ahead of me, and I'm watching them go in. And I'm a boy from Mississippi, and I'm looking, and I'm seeing this water turn. And so they do their things, and I get up my turn, and I look at Brother Simmons, and I said, what are those bubbles and stuff? He looks at me as he's pulling me down and says, that's acid to eat away your sins, boy. So that's the kind of, that's just to give a background of where I came from. So lo and behold, 1972, 73, I moved to St. Louis. My dad, we loaded up the truck again, we moved to the hill, down the hill. And we lived in a U-Haul for a couple of weeks waiting on a house to come out. So I come here, and, you know, up here there's some Baptists, but mainly it's Catholic. And I met a young lady who was doing all my homework in high school. And she was tutoring me and doing stuff. And so later, you know, we become boyfriend, girlfriend. It's 1978, she says, let's get married. I'm like, okay. When? She says, 1980. oh, I better get this right, 1981. I'm like, okay, that'll never come. If you, you imagine if you're 15 or 16 and 3 years away, that's forever. That'll never happen. Well, it did happen. And I am so grateful for God for it happening. So I go, we're going to get married. In order to get married in a Catholic church, I don't know if you guys know, but you have to go to these classes and agree to raise your children in their religion. And so I studied this real hard. I went to their carnivals. I saw gambling. I saw a lot of drinking. As a matter of fact, the priest was drunker than anybody in the place. And so I'm thinking, you know, this might work. So I never converted to, I don't know what they call it, whatever they call it. I never did that, but I did agree to raise my kids in that religion. And I did. They're all grown now. So I say that just to say this, that I went to church and I sat in church and I had a fundamental belief in God, and I just didn't believe that God really had any interest in me because of the way I was acting and the things I were doing. So I sat in church for 25 years with my kids, raised my kids Catholic and stuff, and, you know, and that didn't, I always said that I just didn't get fed. And you know what, I've been back to those churches since I've found Jesus, and yes, I do. I just wasn't ready to be fed. I wasn't ready to be fed. Now, the Catholic message may be short, but it's there if you're ready for it. So I had Uncle Paul that was a deacon in the Baptist church. I love him. He passed a couple years ago. I love him to death. I was talking to his wife this morning, my Aunt Joan, and telling her that I was definitely going to be mentioning Uncle Paul because he planted some seeds. And I don't know about you guys, but before I was going to get this religious stuff or this Jesus thing, I had to know. I had to, a friend of mine out here, his favorite phrase is he's got to figure it out. And I had to figure it out because surely if I don't figure it out and if I don't know him, he's not going to accept me. And so I, you know, I was going to figure it out before I decided to do it. And my Uncle Paul said, well, good luck with that boy. He said, bless your little heart. Some of you guys must be from the South, and you know what that means. But I loved when my aunt and them always said, Bo, that was my nickname. Bo, bless your little heart. And they were just shaking their head, bless your little heart. And so I'm going to figure it out before I do it. And he gave me an analogy, and I love analogies because I can put things together like this. He said, if you're going to try to figure out the God that I understand, he was talking about him. He said, I want you to think about this. Have you ever been to the ocean? And I had. And he says, okay. And we were drinking coffee and talking down in Memphis at one of the reunions. And he says, I want you to do this. I want you to imagine getting your this coffee cup, going out, walking out that ocean, and get you a cup of water, go back on the beach, look at this water, and look at that ocean. That's God's understanding of how things are supposed to be and how they're going to be. This is yours. So what do you do with this cup? And he says, you know, there's as long as, and he said this, I don't know if he knew John 3:16 was my favorite verse or not, but he quoted this. He said, you know, as long as in that cup, that mustard seed, you have that God loves you and sent his son, and if you believe that, you have eternal life. Everything else you learn that God wants you to learn will be just more cups of knowledge. But you're never going to amass that ocean. You're not. Mother Teresa didn't. Mother Teresa may have passed with 100 cups of knowledge, but not near what the ocean is and how big the God is that we serve. And I'm like, okay. And he says, well, so what your goal is to have that understanding, let it be the seed that you grow from, and grow from that. As long as that's in your cup, you're good, and let God handle the rest. So analogy like that, the seed that was planted with my uncle has really helped me along my journey. Now, moving ahead, I had a mentor, a pastor, Jimmy Hazlip, who has passed, that was my mentor in recovery. One day I was sitting out talking with him, and we did the center prayers at the bar, the coffee bar. We did the sinner's prayer, and we talked about, you know, because I at the time I was running some street ministries, and I was doing this, and I'm praying for people out on the streets, and I'm doing that. And Jimmy, you know, did the sinner's prayer with me, and kind of explained to me all this running around. I don't want you to do this running around and stuff with the wrong ideas, thinking that you're working and earning your way into heaven. I know a lot of us do that. We think that. And so he made that clear to me. So I said, Jimmy, you mean to tell me I got that mustard seed and I got my salvation. I don't have to do nothing. I can sit on the couch and eat bonbons. I said, absolutely you can. I said, well, then why do I still want to help people? Why do I still want to do the things to help others? He said, because you had the Holy Spirit, and you can be assured, not assured, no one's assured, because no one knows, that your salvation is there, and it's on the right grounds, and let it grow from there. I did some Googling, like I always do, on the mustard seed, and it's mentioned in the Gospels 5 times, and it's really just talking about how you can grow and where you start. And if you can imagine a person coming into a church the first time at 8 years old, and acid's going to eat away your sins, boy. You know, if you can imagine that, with the effect that it can have on someone, that hopefully we can approach people that are coming into recovery or coming into the church as a newborn Christian or somebody that wants to learn and thinks they got to know it all. If you, I don't know how many of you guys, there's a lot of guys out here, and I know we love T-bone steak. Who loves T-bone steak? Please raise your hand. I know I'm going to get a lot of those. I love T-bone steak, and I believe that the Bible, my salvation, your salvation, is all T-bone steak. But what happens if I try to feed a baby a T-bone steak? He ain't going to like it. He's probably going to reject it. Probably going to choke him to death when I try to stick that steak that I love so much down there. So how do I get him or her to like that T-bone steak? You baby feed. You know, a baby that's a newborn starts off with baby food, soft food, and goes up and learns to eat, hopefully. And I pray for everyone that someday you'll like that T-bone steak and you'll want that T-bone steak the same way I do and I get. So today, in my life and where God has brought me, and I know we're all on different paths, and please don't take the path I did, because I was like walking up a mountain on crutches. You know, it took me a long time. I took all kinds of wrong turns. I did all that stuff, but we're all on a different path. And my hope and prayer is for everyone that you come to an understanding of Christ, our Lord and Savior. And you have eternal life, the way it talks about in John 3:16. And if you take nothing out of this, take the mustard seed. That's where I'm going to start and let God grow it from there. Because God is the best farmer I know. You know, I've seen plants. I've seen that mustard seed that it talks about. And if you do the research on it, mustard seed will grow to a 30-foot tree. 30 foot wide. I love it. Now here's one of the questions that new people struggle with, and I struggle with, and you struggle with, that this loving God that I love, and that I'm hoping that you will learn to love also. Why do bad things happen to good people? Because a loving God can't let children go through this, can't let my loved one go through this, can't let, well, and if you, and I search hard and long on this, but Isaiah 57:1 talks about why things happen to, and it calls it righteous people. We'll just use the word good people. Why do things happen to good people? Bad things happen to good people. And I found the answer in Isaiah 57:1. And if you want to look it up later and read more into it, but it basically says that God is the ocean. God knows way more than I know. God has a plan and a purpose for everything. So whether it be that took this loved one so that pain and suffering wouldn't come to them, or evil wouldn't have come into their life, or whatever, and it goes on to describe that. And that's the only way I can explain to anyone that's that newborn, because that's the first question I get from my friends on the streets that we go down to. Why does God let me suffer like this? Why does God have me sleeping in a tent under a bridge? Why does God have me hooked on drugs and alcohol? And that's a tough one to answer. But I have to believe that God is the ocean. God knows what's going to happen and why it's happening. And I believe with all my heart that nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in God's world by mistake. It may be hard to see at the time we're going through the grieving process and the things like that, but it happens for a reason. So I am overwhelmed at my friends and family that came here today, and I'm so nervous coming up here. My family and friends that know me, I don't get nervous. I mean, I really don't. But I really hope, and I know, I was reading the story about Jesus leaving the 99 to go get the one. You know, and he would leave 99 to go after that one lost soul. Or he would leave the 99 or not be talking to them, but be talking to that one that needs that mustard seed. And my prayer is today that there's somebody in this room that needed that mustard seed, and we'll take it home with them. I love you all, and thanks, guys.
Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know more about us, we are Transformation Church. We are a church for people who aren't in the church. We are a Jesus-centered community made up of everyday people just like you. We refer to ourselves as Transformers, committed to helping God change the world. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. at our House Springs campus. We are moving and launching a new campus soon in Eureka, Missouri, scheduled to launch on April 6, 2025. And we would love for you to join us and be a part of this Jesus revolution. We also meet during the week in smaller groups called house churches, and that's how we make it relational. We regularly hear from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Instagram, Vimeo, YouTube, and TikTok. You can also download our app for free and for fun from your favorite app store. You can find the download link in the show notes or on our website at www.transformerforlife.org. That's www.transformer4life.org. Inside our app or on our website, you can access all our available audio and video teachings and view and download our bulletin, sermon notes, slides, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. Lastly, if you want to learn more about supporting Transformation Church with your time, talent, and finances, and what it takes to become a transformer, please visit our website. God loves generous people, and so do we. So a gift of any amount of your time, talent, and finances is much appreciated. Hey, thanks for being a member of our extended Jesus-centered community. I'm glad we are on this journey together, walking shoulder to shoulder, helping people experience a Jesus-centered life, and discovering the kingdom of God.